Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Kazari, welcome, welcome, welcome. Boomer Esiason, Craig Carton on the Fan, and of course worldwide on CBS Sports Network. Got a great show for you today. Mariano Rivera stopping by for a big softball game tonight, and Tracy Austin coming by later this morning. One of the few interviews I blessed out of the list of names Al gave me, because I want to talk to her about everything going on. We got lots cooking. The Yankees blow out the Tigers again. Of course, Boston took care of business with Cleveland, so 4.5 out still. The Jets apparently don't know who their starting quarterback's going to be. And 180 or so people without jobs showed up on Park Avenue yesterday with signs that made no sense, chanting, "Stay woke." I'm sure the NFL is going to buckle on that one. Good morning, Boomer. How are you today, buddy boy?
You know, I'm doing well, Craigie. And the Yankees and Gary Sanchez, that again, it's another home run.
Yep.
Taking care of business against a lousy Detroit team, which is exactly what they should do. But, you know, really, the story of Major League Baseball last night was Rich Hill, the savvy left-hander for the Dodgers, who had a perfect game going into the ninth inning until an error.
Right.
And then he comes back and he's got a no-no all the way through ninth. And tenth inning, he makes one bad pitch.
Boom.
Ball was hit over the fence. It was a walk-off home run by Harrison of the Pirates. And that was it. I mean, he was just spectacular last night. They were spectacular in the field for him last night.
And lost.
And they still lost. I mean, the Dodgers are so good. Even their losses are, like,
shows,
spectacular.
Shows you how hard it is to beat him.
Thank you, Alan Cassidy.
Listen, that's... Yeah, you have a perfect game, as you said. To lose the perfect game on an error, but still have the no-hitter, and be allowed to come into the 10th, which you got to let the guy come in, obviously.
He only threw 87 pitches.
Right. He was very, very economical with his pitches. And then, and that was a bomb. I forget he was playing left field for the Dodgers. And that dude went full speed into the wall, doing everything he could to make that catch.
They made like six or seven just really outstanding plays in the field. And Hill said that after the game last night. And he also took the loss and he said, "It was my fault." He goes, "My guys behind me played awesome all night long."
They did.
And then when Forsythe makes the error, he goes, "Hey, look, man, I feel bad for him, but he's like one of the leaders of this team."
So, and it's like the Dodgers scored a run anyway.
Right, exactly. You know, so, but it was just a unbelievable performance by the Dodgers last night. There's the error right there. You'll see that on the screen. And you know, just how miserable must you feel like if you are the third baseman? Like, if you're like Al Dukes down there and I'm throwing a no-hitter and this happens?
Right.
Oh, there's going to be some words.
Words
exchanged.
It's going to get physical,
yes,
for sure.
It may get physical in the dugout, that's for sure.
Game starts tonight at 6 o'clock.
It was great. I was watching because it was, you know, it was blowing up my phone.
Right.
You know,
check
the whole
it out.
Thing.
Check it out.
It was great. So too bad. Too bad. It's unfortunate. Now, the whole thing, here's the one thing I will say about the Stay Woke and the Colin Kaepernick stuff that, you know, everybody just wants to know.
Stay woke.
Okay.
Stay woke. Repeat after me. Let me be me. Stay woke. Wear a joke. Stay woke. Wear a joke. We love Colin. We love Colin.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello? Hello? You know, for the last 3 months, essentially.
Yep.
The only one that's not talking is Colin Kaepernick. Everybody seems to be talking for him. I haven't heard one word from Colin Kaepernick. I haven't heard one word from his agent. I guess all these people think that, you know, he should get a $20 million a year contract.
Sure.
And he should be a starting quarterback in the NFL somewhere.
Yeah.
And somehow, some way, they're claiming that the NFL is blackballing Colin Kaepernick. And I'm sorry, he is not being blackballed.
I love the
being blackballed is a very strong word, meaning there's collusion amongst 32 NFL owners to keep a player out of the league because of his political views. And I'm telling you, that is not the case. Some owners may not want him. All 32 teams do not need a quarterback.
Right.
And the only thing I can tell you is I have no idea if Colin Kaepernick wants to play. I have none. I haven't heard one word.
Let's even assume that he does. Here's the interesting thing.
I can't assume that because I don't know.
I'm willing to assume that if given the opportunity and if the money was right.
Yeah, for how much money and what is he willing to be about? I mean, like, Seattle had him in, and Seattle would have been the perfect place for him. I think any player on any team would welcome Colin Kaepernick on their team. I don't think it's a problem in the locker room.
Yeah.
Would ever be the issue, because I do believe, as we saw in Cleveland the other night, that players, you know, believe in what he did, and players would play for him and with him. The question is does he see himself as a starter? Because if he does, there's, you know, I guess he could start for the Jets, but the Jets don't run an offense that fits his skill set.
No, listen, it does. The whole thing fascinates me. I know that, you know, all people want to do is talk about it. So I guess we're in a weird spot where we got to bring it up again and talk about it. I'm trying to figure out why it's so hard for people to understand. No one's questioning his right to do what he wants to do, but you also have an employer, and your employer has the right to say to you, we don't want you to do it. Now, in this case, they didn't even say that to him. They said, if you want to do it, go ahead and do it. And he did it. The fact that other potential employers don't want to bring that kind of attention to their organization is their business and their right. Here's the thing that gets me. It's this notion that the NFL is racist. It's the notion that the NAACP is organizing an apparent boycott against the NFL. It's these morons outside holding signs that say, Black Lives Matter, Colin Kaepernick must be signed. You know, you're talking about a multi-million dollar football player who walked away on his own accord from a contract that, had he stayed with the Niners, would have paid him $14.5 million. He opted out. They didn't kick him out. He opted out on his own volition and decided he was going to either look for work elsewhere or no longer play football. But the notion that the NFL or the 32 owners have a responsibility where they must hire him makes absolutely no sense at all. The NFL being labeled as racist makes no sense at all. The notion that an African-American is mistreated by the NFL owners makes no sense at all. The lack of acknowledgement that almost 90% of the players in the NFL are African-American seems to be thrown out the window and no one gives a damn about it. The fact that, yes, very wealthy men, predominantly white men, made a lot of money and bought teams, they should now be held responsible for one singular guy, one guy and only one guy, who made a decision to opt out of his contract that they must give this guy a job. Well, I'd love to know why that doesn't apply to every other place of work, right? Why doesn't it apply to you if you own a company? Why don't you hire Colin Kaepernick? Why doesn't CBS be forced to hire him as an analyst, or Fox or ESPN or anybody else? Why is it that 32 individual owners, and to be fair, let's knock that down to about 12, because 20 teams don't need a quarterback. So of the dozen or so teams that you could actually make a legitimate argument needed a backup quarterback, and let's say the three or four teams that were legitimately looking for a starting quarterback, why is it their responsibility to give him a job? Why must they do that? Why must the NFL reopen its doors collectively to him? I don't. That's the thing. We talk a lot about on the show that being a professional athlete, regardless of the sport, is not a right. I wasn't born with the right to be a baseball player or a football player. Neither were you.
Or a radio talk show host,
right,
for that matter.
It's a privilege. And Colin enjoyed the privilege. Well-deserved, by the way. Fantastic athlete. Went to a Super Bowl. And by all accounts was in the middle of what could have been a really good career. Things went sideways. Probably some his fault, some the organization's fault. And when he decided to do what he did, And no one denies the fact that he had the right to do it. The issue was, with that came a lot of support and a lot of negativity.
Now, I would
but collectively,
take,
a lot of attention.
I would take issue, and I have taken issue, so there's nothing new here that I'm saying. But I would take issue that the moment he puts that uniform on and steps on that field, he is no longer Colin Kaepernick, the person. He's Colin Kaepernick, the football player, who basically is putting into the crosshairs an organization and obviously angering many fans. So you understand what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
Now, if he wants to go out, and I've said this a million times, if he wants to go out and do what Malcolm Jenkins has done off the field and go ride along with the Philly cops, go down to Washington, D.C., go to see Speaker Ryan and air out your issues and whatever you may be passionate about, because you are an NFL football player and they are allowing you to come in because they know who you are,
sure.
Then you use that celebrity the way that he has done it. He's done it the right way off the field. Now, I don't appreciate him holding his fist in the air during the national anthem, but at the end of the day, you know, these guys are going to, you know, they know that they have the NFL in a bind because the NFL can't tell them not to do this, but again,
nor have they, by the way.
But no, they haven't. You know, you and I come to work every single day. We have to watch what we say on this air. We have to. We don't wear offensive clothing. We don't piss anybody. Well, we probably do. But the fact of the matter is, he's taking an organization, and put them in the crosshairs with the fan base. Yeah, I don't care what you say. It's the truth. Now, there's part of the fan base that loves everything that he does, and
sure.
There's a big part of the fan base that doesn't. You know, and we, I think, and I always say this, I know we're getting ready to start the NFL season and all this stuff is still out there. I am so sick and tired of talking about it. You know, I'm an analyst of a football league that I love the players that play in the league. I love the games. I love the intensity. I love everything about the NFL, except for this aspect of it, because somebody has decided to make the NFL football field their political statement. And I don't like that. I never did that as a player. I don't think that other players should do it. And I'm totally against it. So
That's
where I'm coming from, because the moment you put that uniform on and the moment you step on that field, now all of a sudden you're putting somebody else's business on the line. I don't think if Colin Kaepernick owned a restaurant, right, and you were a waiter at that restaurant.
Yep.
And let's say, I don't know, obviously Make America Great Again seems to be like a hot button issue in this part of the discussion.
Sure.
If you wore that T-shirt or that red hat into that restaurant as a waiter, what do you think Colin Kaepernick would probably do to you as one of the waiters working for him?
Imagine he might say, take it off or get out.
Right, exactly.
You work for me.
And I know that there's a righteousness that is attached to this and the way that the whole thing is being framed, so it's hard to argue against it. I get it. But at the end of the day, football should be football. We as fans and analysts want to see the game of football. On Sunday, that's what I want to see. I don't want to be talking about politics with my friends. I don't want to be talking about, you know, why isn't Colin Kaepernick playing? I don't want to talk about that stuff. I want to talk about the game of football. Now, if you want to talk about it away from the game, that's a different story. You know, I work on the NFL today and inside the NFL. You know, it's not the news hour. You know what I mean?
I mean, the whole thing's stupid. It pisses me off.
Well,
comparing him to Muhammad Ali is offensive to Muhammad Ali. Comparing him to 1968 is offensive to the Olympic athletes in 1968. Comparing him to to Martin Luther King is offensive to the memory of Martin Luther King. And I'll tell you something else. You know, just because I'm white doesn't make me a racist. The fact that I don't think Colin Kaepernick deserves or has to have a job in the NFL does not make you a racist. The NAACP claiming that they want to blackout, their words not mine, the NFL and boycott companies that advertise and tell people not to enjoy the NFL is on them and nobody else. And frankly, it's disgusting. The whole thing is, listen, is there racism? Sure there is, 100%. No one's denying it. Is Colin Kaepernick the victim of racism? No. Period. Stop. And you can take all the microphones and soapboxes you want and have all the marches and dopey comments and accuse people of this, that, and the other thing. And most people no longer have the balls or the gumption to actually verbally have the conversation on the other side. Well, the reality is that you have to, because the notion that the NFL is racist is a joke. The notion that That the 32 owners are racist is a joke. The notion that you're going to have an NAACP boycott of the NFL is a joke. The notion that 100 and some odd people went out to Park Avenue yesterday claiming that Colin Kaepernick has been mistreated by the league that made him a multimillionaire is a joke. And anyone that thinks that this is a real significant issue in our society is stupid. And there's much more important things to worry about than whether or not one particular football player is given an opportunity to play. Right? And that's it. And I say this all the time, and I hate the fact that we even have to open the show with it. You know, and I thought the commissioner of the NYPD said something that will always last with me, and that is you have a couple hundred people outside Park Avenue outraged that Colin Kaepernick is not being given another opportunity to play football, despite the fact that he opted out of his contract. And when a minority woman named Officer Familia gave her life to this city as a single mom raising kids who was executed, period, stop, while on a watch in a neighborhood where she's trying to make the community better. These same 200 people were not outraged by it. There was no march, no protest. There was nothing in her honor other than the men and women that wear blue every day showing up to honor her memory in a funeral. And the fact that we're going to waste our time dealing with the reality that one athlete, that one guy who opted out of his contract, wasn't kicked out of the NFL, he opted out. The same guy that wore socks depicting police officers as pigs, the same guy that wore a shirt supporting Fidel Castro, the same guy, and no one wants to seem to remember those things, right? He supported Castro, he called cops pigs, and yes, he also kneeled for the national anthem. That's his choice, and there's repercussions sometimes to your actions, good and bad. But we're going to sit out on Park Avenue and pretend like these people give a damn about whether Colin Kaepernick is given an opportunity to make $3, $4, $5, $10, $20, $30 million. That's what's going on in your life? There's nothing else important in your life in the middle of the day on a work day than whether or not a guy who's already made millions of dollars based on his amazing skill and earned every penny he got, that guy should be given another opportunity to make millions of dollars. Of all the great things that you could get behind, the great causes, the issues that are real, that make sense, that will make our society better, of all the things that you've decided to dedicate your time, your money, and your interest to, it's a football player playing football? How about those 200 people and me and you and everyone else get behind other issues? We make the city better, right? But we decided, 200 morons, yesterday, that the biggest issue in their lives was whether or not a football player could play football. You know how stupid that is? And I got to sit here for 4 effing hours and deal with this crap and be called a racist because I don't agree with the fact that Colin Kaepernick does not deserve to play in the NFL. It's not always black and white. Stop making it black and white. You got to tell me there's something else in your life that's more important than whether Colin Kaepernick gets a multi-million-dollar contract to play football. Because I'll tell you this, if that is the most important thing in your life, then you have no life. Sad and pathetic. You're going to dedicate time out of your busy schedule to worry about a football player being given an opportunity to play football. Shame on you. And shame on us for giving you the platform to be heard. You don't deserve it. It's a joke. Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, Martin Luther King, men of honor who fought for something real and tangible, not whether or not Colin Kaepernick could play football again in the NFL. And comparing Colin Kaepernick to those three men is offensive to their memory. And you should know better. You should be ashamed of yourselves, black or white, supporting this stupid cause.
It's Boomer and Carton, mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
I see that Eddie Scazzeri has a new shirt on. Air Carton. His.
That's kind of cool.
What is that?
Air Carton.
How come we didn't get those?
I didn't see it.
So that's not like your shirt?
Is that? No, I've never seen it before.
That looks like you tripping over yourself and the ball falling between your legs.
Craig Carton actually fell on his own derriere.
Oh, you didn't make those for real?
I've never seen them before in my life. Where'd you get that from?
This is an Izzo creation.
Oh, boy.
My man Jiggles. I love it. Great. Air Carton. Cool. Funny, he's fired. No, I dig it. I told you we need to have our own stuff and put it up in a Boomer and Carton store of some kind. In any event, Jerry Recco is here, and he's got all the baseball and God knows what else.
Yeah, and this report is brought to you by Rutgers Football. Get your tickets to the home opener today at scarletknights.com.
I think big game against Washington coming up.
Next Friday, right?
The War Before the Shore.
That's right. Next Friday. That's how you kick off a holiday weekend.
What is that now? What's going on?
Rutgers is playing Washington in football, and they're calling it the War Before the Shore.
That's it. Yeah, man. You know, it's kind of like a holiday weekend. You take in some football, then you head down to the shore. I think that's
War Before the Shore.
The War Before the Shore.
It's a great idea.
Are they now putting a name on all of their games?
Yes.
Or no?
Yes, they are.
Every game going to have a name to title
right.
to?
I don't know.
Yep. And when they play Ohio State, I think it's going to be 80-0 is the name of the game, pretty much.
No, that's not what they're going with.
Oh. What are they calling that
look
game?
Look at that. Just taking shots, huh?
Yeah, left and right.
Tell that bitch to shut his mouth.
Tell that bitch to shut his mouth.
Eddie.
That was great. That was the only highlight of yesterday's press conference. Anyway, go ahead, Jerry.
All right. So, I'll just do that first. I mean, you did the Kaepernick stuff. We don't need to do that, right? So this is the weekend. I mean, this is the 26th. They got McGregor. Right? So just because I played that, I'll just give you a couple of quick clips from this. McGregor was very subdued yesterday. It was not as fun as the other ones.
Right.
But he did have that clip as he went to the podium and one of Mayweather's people started yapping to him.
Right, sir.
That's what he said was tell that bitch to
shut up. He said, be a good little bitch.
And then he asked him to stop it again, and then you'll hear what happened here.
He told you to shut up. Good bitch.
Yeah, Mayweather said to the guy, stop, not now, don't give him any business.
It was
weird.
And
when the guy listened to Mayweather, that's what you heard. You heard right there. He told you to shut up. Good bitch.
And then the one thing I'll give you in terms of the actual fight, here was McGregor saying, I'm going to get him early.
8-ounce gloves. He made a big, big error in my opinion. I don't see him lasting 2 rounds. I feel I would have the decision to end it inside one.
So there you go.
I tell you what, I mean.
He talks a good game.
He does talk a lot of smack.
If he comes out and he wins and knocks him out, oh, man.
Well, I
can't imagine what that's going to... I mean, I think most reasonable people think that Floyd Mayweather is going to beat him.
Well, there's another side of this that most reasonable people also think is going to happen.
What's that?
Because there's no trust at all in the judges in boxing. Most boxing fans will say two things. One, what you just said, there's just no way that Conor McGregor, who's never fought a boxing match in his life, is going to beat one of the best of all time.
Right.
The other thing boxing fans say... is that it'll be if it's not a knockout, there'll be a split decision that goes McGregor's way, forcing an automatic rematch, right?
Yep.
Mayweather will come back. He'll win the second fight in some capacity. And the third fight?
Oh, my God.
The third fight will be a $3 billion.
I was going to say, what the hell would they pay them for three fights?
Hey, let me ask you a question. How many rounds? 12? Is it 12 rounds if it goes the distance?
That'd be 12 rounds.
3 minutes.
12 3-minute rounds, wow. 8-ounce gloves.
I don't know. There's no way that Conor McGregor, first of all, is making it 12 rounds. There's just no way.
No, I don't know why.
No,
the opposite. Championship MMA fights,
Isn't it five minutes?
5 minutes, which is...
Yeah, but it's different, though, right? I mean...
Listen, the aerobics of either one are beyond.
Don't you think this guy? My sense.
3 12-minute rounds. He will not have an aerobic problem.
The way I see this is him coming out being uber aggressive.
Yeah, I think that's just.
There's not going to be no feeling out or anything. It's going to be like.
Agreed.
It's going to be balls to the wall. It's going to be 100 miles an hour.
Yeah. But I don't think cardio will be his issue.
No. What's going to be his issue is the Mayweather jab.
Yeah, the actual fighting part.
Yeah, and listen, he's going to hit him, for sure, but.
How about if he comes out and he just goes right into Mayweather? Mayweather just clocks him.
Walks into
him
a left.
Boom! Yeah. Good night. Good to see you. Everybody go home. Get out of here. Good night.
Good thing.
Thanks for coming.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
Anyway, at Giants camp, Ben McAdoo met the media. The topic, as you would expect, was Odell Beckham Jr. You didn't get a whole lot, though.
Do you have any update today on Odell's condition?
He's got an ankle. He's in there getting treatment.
He's got an ankle. He's in there getting treatment. Well, he said that multiple times.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know what the reporters want.
Well, I mean, you have to ask the question, don't you?
And then it was this whole tinge of negativity about how Odell Beckham came back on the field. His ankle was lightly wrapped.
This one.
It's a question some people might have. Is if he had an injury, why was he even back on the sideline just in the second half of the game?
He's got an ankle. He's getting treatment, doing what he can to get ready to go.
It's starting already. I don't think the ankle's that bad either, personally, just having watched him afterwards on the field. That being said, the question's there really because of that dopey ESPN report, which was he might miss the first 2 weeks of the season. He might not, but he might.
Is there any concern that he won't be ready for the opener?
So we're just taking it day by day.
He's going to be ready for the opener.
Yeah.
You can almost guarantee that. I mean, the kid is a player, he's a competitor, and the opener is 17 days. Right?
Yeah,
he's not a 45-year-old guy trying to figure out if he can walk 18 holes on the golf course or if he can jump up and down with his kids 15 times. He's a 24-year-old, whoever he is, supremely fit athlete who has 17 days to get fine. He'll be fine.
I agree. I'd be stunned if he wasn't there. So you've got that. Do you want me to do the Yankees or do you want to do the Rich Hill?
Near I don't care. You tell me. I live in New York, so I think you'd do the Yankees before a Dodger game. Pitch. Unless you're working
swung
for the
on Wimpons. And drilled to deep left field. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. He's done it again. The Sanchino. You could hear the crack of the bat up here. He just drilled it into the left field seats. Gary is scary. He homers to left in the Yankees. Take a 1-0 lead.
Eerily similar to last season.
Yeah.
Is it not?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
All of a sudden,
other
this
than
guy,
the batting average.
Yeah, but this guy's heating up, man.
But he's hitting a home run every day.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in some cases, too.
He's making up for Judge.
Well, Judge had two hits yesterday, but he also started a new strikeout streak.
How about give Joe Girardi a little credit for two things? One, the fact that the simple move of putting Sanchez into the 3-hole has already paid major dividends, granted against the Tigers. And two, taking Judge out of that game and saving him from a potential strikeout in his fifth at-bat stopped the streak, which, if without, could have continued. He could be at 40.
But now he started a new one.
Right, but it's not even a story now. So great move by Joe Girardi.
What number do we get to before it becomes a story?
Before
the first question. I'll say 10.
I was going to say 5.
I'll say 10.
We already brought it up now. It's 1.
Well, that is true.
No, I just wanted to point that out, though.
Didi Gregorius and Chase Headley homered. Yankees won 10-2. John Sterling. Yeah, and Ronald Torres went 4-for-4 at an RBI and a run scored.
Well, everyone's contributing.
They're playing a crappy Tigers,
yeah, but
man.
They're 11 games over 500
now. So they basically beat the Mets 4 in a row. They've beaten the Tigers now 2 in
That's
a row.
Right.
That's 6 in a row against the two of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah. A little afternoon action today with Jaime Garcia.
Yes, Jaime Garcia
and
Michael
Fulmer.
The only
thing bad about last night was Canley came in and gave up 2 runs. Didn't he give up 2 runs?
It's a blowout game. It's a blowout game.
No, he got
and it wasn't. Didn't he give up 2 runs?
That guy needs a,
he gave up the home run.
He gave up 1 run. Right.
He gave up the home run, then he gave up the single down the line.
Right. It was not two runs.
And then it was the ground
ball. I thought it was 2 runs.
It was not 2 runs.
It was 2 hits.
Yankees stay 4.5 behind Boston. They beat Cleveland 6-1. Home runs from Nooney and Mitch Moreland. Jackie Bradley Jr., however, on the DL with a sprained thumb. Uh-oh. And so they went out and acquired Rajay Davis from the...
How about these teams, man? A guy gets hurt and they immediately go get somebody.
It's crazy. Well, that's a team that's trying to win.
It's an arms race.
Yep. They are. Yeah, Boston at this point, 20 games over 500, I think it is now. All right, so now take it to Pittsburgh. You've got Rich Hill. Now, last year, Rich Hill had a no-hitter in Miami, and Dave Roberts pulled him out of the game because of pitch count. Pitch count was not an issue last night at all, and this guy's got a perfect game going in the ninth inning when Logan Forsythe makes an error. Perfect game gone. But because his pitch count was so low and he still had a no-hitter, he goes out. And, oh, by the way, the Dodgers weren't scoring, something that never happens. He goes out and pitches the 10th inning. The problem was it didn't last all that long.
Here's the 2-1. And a swing and a fly ball out to left, down the line. Granderson on the warning track. And where is it? It's gone. It disappears over the wall. And Josh Harrison wins it, breaking up the no-hitter with a game-winning home run in the 10th.
That's Pirates radio right there.
How about Curtis Granderson playing left field?
He tried
to go right through the wall to go get it.
Yeah, he did. Well, and it's funny, Al and I were talking about this before. Chase Utley made a hell of a play in the eighth inning to stop the perfect game of the no-hitter from being broken up, and Granderson tried there. So 1-0 was the final.
And Hill couldn't have been any better post-game, too.
Here he was.
It was a bad pitch, so, late in the game like that, you need to make better pitches, so... tomorrow we get an opportunity to win the series, so come back and get tomorrow.
99 pitches as he threw into the 10th inning.
Yeah, he was great.
Pretty good.
I guess it was what, Logan Forsythe made the error?
Yeah.
Yes.
And he goes, look, he's the leader on this team. He's one of the main guys in here. Everybody top to bottom goes to him, so there's a ton of respect towards Logan. I feel bad for him. You know, and I knew we'd come back and we'd get the job done. So that's a team that you can tell is 90 games over 500 and on the same page right now.
Very much so.
Which is why I always say that, you know, leadership's overrated. When you're winning, everyone gets along. When you're losing, no one likes each other.
All true. And last night, I'll just give you one clip because it's a young player that did good for the Mets.
Dom Smith has struck out a walk tonight. He drives one deep right field. Martinez goes back. It's out of here!
And that is Gary Cohen on SNY. Dominic Smith with the home run late in the game. You had Michael Conforto, a couple of RBI singles. Brandon Nimmo was on base a bunch. And the rookie Chris Flexen pitched well. The Mets did beat the Diamondbacks, who are a playoff team as of right now.
So I was reading this, there's a bartending report yesterday.
Right
Boom.
On.
Okay.
And how professional sporting events positively impact local bars and whatnot in New York City, right?
Yes.
They think, the experts that do this for a living, that Mayweather-McGregor will result in more revenue in Irish pubs than St. Patrick's Day.
Based on the per hour. I would not doubt that at all.
Now, St. Patrick's Day, they said, will make more money because bars open earlier than they normally do.
Right.
But on the per hour revenue that comes in, the predictions are that Irish pubs, and I imagine it's not just New York City, for everywhere, will have their single best day ever. How about that? That, like, if you don't have a spot reserved already in your favorite pub, you ain't getting in.
How about the fact, I guess Floyd Mayweather is what, going to make $200 million?
They think somewhere close to that.
Think he can pay his taxes then?
I hope he can pay his taxes.
All depends on the pay-per-view, which I think will do over 5 million pay-per-views.
How much is this fight, $100?
$100, so 5 million times 100 is how much, Jerry?
I didn't hear you. Five times what?
5 million times 100 is how much?
A lot. $500 million.
$500 million in revenue solely from the pay-per-view.
Right.
Then you have
$20,000 seats.
You have the sponsorships. The seat revenue is minuscule in comparison. Now Mayweather's camp got 4,000 tickets. McGregor got 4,000 tickets. Showtime got 4,000 tickets. Fox got 4,000 tickets. UFC got 4,000 tickets. There were less than 500 tickets that were actually available to be sold to the general public. Now, what those independent groups did with their tickets, they could resell them. Sure, many of them tried to do that. Oh, and M. Jim Grant, of course, got their 4,000 tickets. Given to sponsors, given to broadcasters like Giannotti and Jones, and do what you got to do with them.
So
the ticket revenue, while a lot of money because you have to buy them, right? Is not significant compared to the pay-per-view. Mm. Then you have, there's a digital component to it. Then you have major places, arenas and such, that are doing viewing parties. They had to pay a closed caption fee, which is far more than the $100. You're talking in the neighborhood of about $800 million all in for this fight.
Oh.
800.
That's unbelievable.
Is it not absurd?
That is absurd.
Absurd's a good word.
Uh-huh. So that's why a lot of people think if they put on a good show without a knockout, or even if there is a knockout, but a late knockout, the public will demand another one.
Or a McGregor knocking out Mayweather.
If McGregor wins, no matter what,
there's another one.
There's got to be another one.
Even if it looks like Mayweather's not interested?
Yeah, because if you're Mayweather, A, you come back and... You know, it's in the contract. He gets a rematch.
Remember, Mayweather is basically putting an undefeated record on the line here.
Yeah, I know.
It's 49-0.
He'd love to be 50-0, that's for sure. You know that.
Never
Come
been
on.
Done before.
Right.
So anyway, that's that. Anything else or no?
No, we're good.
No. Do you have audio of "Stay Woke, I'm a Joke"? Stay woke, I'm a joke. What's funny about that?
I never found "Stay Woke, I'm a Joke."
No. I got some tweets yesterday, people thinking that they stole Al Duke's line. I got a lot of people thinking, hey, wait a minute. When did Al Dukes become an activist? Did you get the same thing out or no?
I did. People think I created
Stay
Woke. It
is funny that people don't realize where that came from and what you were doing.
He didn't even do it. Eddie did it.
Was it Eddie?
I made a hat out of it. Eddie recorded Al just saying it. Now it's a part of fabric of the show.
Yes.
Funny. And it all came from Dwayne Wade
right.
About Charles Oakley and James Dolan. trying to tell other NBA players, you got to be careful of white owners.
Who needs the truth?
Stay woke.
Who cares where
it
came
from? And
then
Al became an activist overnight.
Right.
Just like that.
Just credit Al.
Gonna get your calls on all of it.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Ruff. By the way, there's a couple remnants of provolone cheese on the cheese board I see from yesterday. If you're any interest in that, I can peel that off.
No, that's fine.
Why is that on the floor and not on the table where it belongs?
I was doing an interview yesterday, and that thing was in the way.
You were doing an interview?
I was doing an interview in
here,
yes.
You were being interviewed or doing the interview?
I was being interviewed.
By whom?
By the people from the Pinstripe Bowl.
Why are they interviewing you?
Well, because, you know, it's an ACC Big Ten
matchup.
My team, the University of Maryland Terrapins, one time was in the ACC and now is in the Big Ten. So, you know, maybe I have a unique view of things.
Yeah, but Maryland's not.
We're in the Big Ten.
No, I know that. But the Pinstripe Bowl is a bowl game.
For the Big Ten and the ACC.
Right, but Maryland's not playing in it.
Well, we not are yet. Playing against
playing Rutgers,
but in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, I know that, but that's not the Pinstripe Bowl. That's just the game.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, I'm saying, but I think I'm the spokesperson for that, pretty sure.
For the Pinstripe Bowl? Why would you be the spokesperson?
Well, because I get along with the folks at Yankee
Stadium.
Oh, that's
right. Yeah, they love you. That's right.
They love me. That,
and you love them.
And, you know, Pat Hobbs at Rutgers is a dear friend now. Although Pat Hobbs is trying to schween his way into the big Mayweather-McGregor party.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
So that's a tough one. You know, it's a... You know, it's a state job he's got, you know, at Rutgers.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like, yeah, but I'm going to be with the governor. I'm not sure if that, you know.
How that all mixes in.
I don't know. You know.
Yeah, because people are
ethics,
watching. You know, ethics,
things
yeah.
like that. Plus, if we're at the beach house, I can't have Pat Hobbs
sitting
next to me.
Did you say government and ethics?
Yeah, I did. I put that together, didn't I? You notice
okay.
that?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, Pat, I should invite Pat. But then I'm like, well, what if Pat, you really can't come to the party? You know?
Yeah.
And then if I invite Pat, do I invite the coaches, who I don't even know?
Yes, I understand.
Yeah,
it's
then it becomes my burden. And I don't want to be burdened.
By the
I just
way,
want to
were,
mind
your,
my business and drink.
Were your ears burning yesterday at all?
Were my ears burning?
Or ringing or burning? Did you
know? Were you talking about me?
I was definitely talking about you. Yes, they had a lot of conversation about you yesterday.
Okay. That's so, typically not good, but okay.
I was with three men. We
Any of them
golf?
Executives from TV networks?
No.
Oh,
no.
All right.
I was with three men.
Three
doing,
men.
Doing man stuff on the golf course.
Okay.
You know?
Do I know the three men? Or
yes,
these like
do.
Random like hedge
no,
fund
know,
guys
you, you
go,
know,
what's Carton really like?
No, you know the three men.
Okay.
And we were discussing you and Matt Martin in your golf a match last year. And
which he cheated.
Well, he feels like you owe him $10,000. I said, you're not going to see that, so
because
don't worry about
cheated.
It. And I explained your thought process in right. that regard. So everybody, I tried to be like the intermediary just to keep everybody happy, not to,
I don't
you
think
know,
he cheated on purpose, but he cheated.
Sling names at everybody and start calling people this, that, and the other thing. But anyway, so Wally Szczerbiak was one of those guys.
All right, I like this.
And I was telling Wally about the match between you guys and how Matt thinks that you still owe him 10 grand and how we want to do this again and we want to do it the proper way because we don't want to have anybody upset.
And I think money should be put into safe holding before the 18.
Right. So Wally wants to know
okay.
if you will and accept a $50,000 bet against you.
Wally's funny.
He's going to put 50 G's. He said to me last night, now, he was you know, a tequila or Southsider or two away from
Wally's Mike, got the first nickel he made, so it's hard for me to believe that he's going to put 50K up on a golf match.
He said, I'll put 50 G's on Matt in a heartbeat.
How did Matt play yesterday?
He's playing better.
He is. Now,
yes.
he's, typically when he's on, he's very long off the tee.
Yes.
His short game blows. We know that. He's within 50 yards of the green, he blows.
You know, that's not me. That I'm not saying anything
So Wally
about
wants
that.
To put 50K up?
Yeah, he'll put 50 G's up. Are you willing to accept that bet?
I'd have to accept it with odds. Because I have not played since my tournament. I don't even have my clubs. Metro's got my clubs in his trunk. He hasn't given them to me yet. That's my fault. I haven't seen him, though.
So, I mean, but you can't be talking all this smack, then.
I'll talk all the smack I want.
So
here's what I would say to Wally Szczerbiak.
Yep.
Since he's drinking some tequila. Oh, I got 1942 for everybody.
Yeah.
Right? And he's feeling no pain. And when I'm not in the room, it's very easy to talk smack. I'd put 50 grand up against that bald son of a bitch.
Well, right? That's what he said. That's exactly how he said it, too,
okay.
by the way.
So I would tell Wally, my 10 against his 50. You want to be a man? Be a man. Now we're talking about being men. All right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Matt Martin's a better golfer than me overall.
But I don't want anybody to get upset with each other.
No, no. This is called being a man.
So he puts
up 50 to my 10, and he's got himself a deal.
And we're playing
skins.
Stroke play.
What do you call it, match play?
No, I thought we were playing stroke play.
No, it's match play. That was always the rule. Remember when Matt got like a 12 on a hole? Remember?
Yeah, but what does that mean?
He just lost that hole. Doesn't carry over.
Oh, I see.
The score is not cumulative.
So you want to play match play.
Whatever. I call it skins.
It's match play.
Match play.
Yeah, so you win a hole, you move on, doesn't matter what
your
score
is. And if you tie a hole, it doesn't carry over, it ties a tie.
Right, ties a tie. So, you know, if he beats you, let's say he is four up with three holes to go.
Then it's over.
You're done.
Yep. So if Wally Szczerbiak wants to be a tough guy, I'll be his Huckleberry.
Okay.
He can put up his 50 against my 10.
I'm sure he would do that.
Oh, I would tell you he probably wouldn't.
I would tell you that he would.
I don't think he'd even put the 50 up against 50, let alone 10.
Oh.
But I'm putting it up against 10. Because I will acknowledge that my shot of winning is my personality and charm.
I would say we're going to need confirmation from Wally on this.
Call him up.
So
he's up. He's got little kids.
Do you have his number?
Boring.
All right.
Wally's going to put 50 grand up. I'll just do it off the air. Ask him off the air if he's good for it. Is Matt in as well on this or what?
Matt still wants to do the 10
So Matt's
10
still
G's.
In for 10, so two separate bets.
Well, I'm the one that's in for the 10. It's
You're
not Matt.
Fronting your son-in-law, right?
No, he's not my son-in-law.
Well, I mean, if you're fronting him money, then he's your son-in-law.
He's not my son-in-law.
Tell him to grow up and put up his own money then. I mean, we're either men or we're not men.
It was
nice of you the first time that you were so... sure that I'd lose,
yes.
And that was part of our thing. I get it, but
what
now
do you mean, part of our thing. I get it.
That's fine.
What do you mean?
I get it.
Look,
but
you
if
get
he
nothing.
Wants to, listen.
Yeah, yesterday
I'm
we
tired
had,
of this whole manhood thing. If you want to be a man, put your own money up. Don't have your father-in-law put his money up. Ooh, I bought your Father's Day lunch. Cost you $150, tough guy. Put your 10 grand up like a man. And I'll see him tonight at softball, and he and I can have that handshake and agreement. It's easy for him to play when Wally's putting up 50, you're putting up 10, he ain't got nothing to lose.
Right, that's true.
And what's he going to get a piece of your action?
Yeah.
So if I lose, you give him a little taste.
I'll give him a little taste, yeah.
Right. And what happens if I win? Comes out of your pocket.
Well, yeah.
No. He's got that pressure on him. It's got to come out of his wallet.
The way I
and
look
I don't
at
want
it.
Canadian funds
well,
either.
He also was complaining yesterday that, you know, with me breathing down his neck on the golf course, that he was having a hard time handling
Boom,
that.
It's like you brought him the Tom Emanski of golf. The guy's swinging his hips on the course, showing him what to do. He's a cheater. And that's why it got nullified. And you acknowledge that by the rules, he cheated. He didn't attempt to cheat. He didn't think he was cheating. He cheated. Guy, I'd never seen this before in my life. The guy grabbed his hips. And he's doing, they take practice swings together. And I'm sitting there in the bushes like, what the F is going on there? I'm all by myself. I got thorns in my ankles and legs. And he's got a guy swinging his hips. You know?
Yeah.
And he goes, I win the hole. Go F yourself.
Well, according to Wally, because that day, if you remember, I think it was you and me against that guy and Matt.
Random guys are very good golfers.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, but we were playing against them.
You and I were?
In a match, yes.
Oh, I was so focused in on so, this guy touching his hips and dancing
and
with him.
Thing about...
He was grinding his junk up against Matt's ass. You know, like this, Matt. Like this. Swing with me. Pendulum. I'm like, this son of a bitch. He's like, he's getting action on Matt Martin.
Yeah, he's getting action.
And Matt doesn't know any better. He's Canadian. He just thinks that's how we Americans play golf. That once every nine holes, another man's going to rear up behind you, grind up against your ass, and swing with you.
But the thing is that while he was saying, he goes, look, if they're partners, he can help him as a partner.
Partners, nothing. They can't, no. We all know the rules. Here's Frank in New Haven on the fan. Frank, what do you got?
Yes, Boomer, I'd like to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Just Boomer, you have any? Why don't you ask Eddie a question?
Well, you too, Craig. I like you, Craig.
Good.
But about Colin, do you think if there was more black owners in the NFL that he'd have a chance of playing?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that. I can't answer that. All I do know
why
is that
it, why does it matter if there's black owners? Isn't that offensive to the notion that a black owner would view him any differently than a white owner would?
No, I don't agree with what he did, but, you know, I do believe that if there was more black owners, that he'd have a chance.
Why?
But,
why?
Well, because, yeah, I don't think he did anything that, you know, warrants him not to play. I mean, he's an excellent backup quarterback.
Sure.
And I think he has a good chance of playing.
Except for this. Here's the thing. Three things you're doing that are mistake-ridden. Number one, what you're saying is patently offensive to any African-American potential owner, that they would curry favor to a black athlete over any other color athlete simply because they happen to be black as well. So that's stupid. Number two, you're forgetting about the fact that a lot of people think, not everyone, because I know my dear friend Bart Scott thinks that his skill set is not eroded at all. There are many people that think he's not good enough to play. Number three, you've neglected to recognize the fact that we don't know if he's willing to play as a backup for what a team might be willing to pay him. So that and no one knows those answers other than, I guess, the people closest to him because, and I say this to Colin's credit, everyone else is making a lot of noise around him and about him. He hasn't said a word.
You know what it reminds me of? Reminds me of Deflategate, where Tom Brady said nothing. And all the fans up in Boston basically took on the commissioner and the
guys
and the
do
office.
What we do. We commented
right,
on
of course.
It, right?
Yeah. I mean, we did all the commenting because that's what we get paid to do, of course. But Tom Brady never said a word. He just basically let the whole thing handle itself. Now, unfortunately for him, he ended up getting suspended. But, you know, he never said anything. It would be interesting if he ever, you know, decides to write a book about the whole thing, about his take on all of it. Because I still, to this day, have no idea.
What really happened.
Right.
I would tell you this. You know, the biggest story for me today is not this dopey protest or marches or anything else. It's the fact that Gary Sanchez is doing what Aaron Judge did in April and May.
Yep.
And the Yankees are now benefiting from that. Granted, it's against the Tigers. We'll see what happens after they get through this series.
Do you know that
today.
Last year, Gary Sanchez had 11 home runs in the month of August?
And what's he got now?
10 in this month of August.
And he got another week to go.
Yeah.
So Gary Sanchez has taking over the mantle as young Yankee, killing it, keeping the Yankees right where they need to be. And that's why a week from now, that end of August, early September Labor Day series against the Boston Red Sox is going to be awesome, and I can't wait for it.
It's Boomer and Carton, mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
You think Bart Scott's busy on Sundays this fall? Does he have stuff going on? Do you know?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Out of sight, out of mind, I guess, right?
Well, I mean, he's busy now. I'm busy. I mean, it's like, you know, it's not like we run in the same circles.
I'm just saying, I will look out for Bart. I got Bart's best interests.
I know where he belongs.
Yeah, on TV and radio.
TV and radio, definitely.
Real quick, I got Jerry. He needs a very important update, but they tell me that Mr. Manley himself, Wally Zerbiak's on the hotline. Wallace, how you been, buddy?
Spectacular. How you doing, Craig?
Great.
I miss you.
I miss you as well. So, you know, I'll just set it up real quick. You know the parameters of this thing. You guys were having a couple cocktails yesterday, drinking the 42 on the rocks. How can I be the man? You're the man. Shake it up.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I assume erroneously said that you'd put 50K up in my match against Matt Martin on the golf course. So first let me ask, are you willing to legitimately do that?
I don't know. It might have been a little bit of drunk chatter, but I am very confident in Matt Martin's golf game.
There you
go. I've seen you play. I haven't seen you play in a couple of years.
That's right.
I missed teeing it up there with you, but Matt Martin's playing some good golf. I think he would nip you for sure.
Well, but that's my point. But I told you.
See, like, the way you talked last night, Wally, you were like, I'm in. 50 Gs, I'm in.
What did I tell you?
I also heard that someone didn't pay the bet the previous time.
Because he cheated.
He said you couldn't get lessons on the course.
Well, first off, there was It was not me and Boomer versus them.
Whatever you want on the golf course, he can tell you to swing lefty.
It wasn't the caddy.
It feels like it would help your game.
It wasn't the caddy.
And your partner can do the same thing.
It was not his partner.
Yes,
either.
It was.
Ryder Cup teammate.
We were all playing for ourselves.
He can do whatever he wants. He can help you with reads. He can help you with chips. He can tell you where
Here's
to put
the ball
problem, in your stance. He can do whatever
well,
he wants.
Well, the problem is this. There were no partners. It was me versus Matt, period, stop. And this other guy was a scratch golfer, grabbed him by the hips, and was dancing with him.
He's not a scratch golfer. You know who the other guy was?
I don't even know who the guy is.
Hampton.
Oh, wow. Well,
In any event,
listen.
He probably
would have won by more if he didn't listen.
More importantly,
so.
I told
held him back. Yes.
I told Boomer when he brought your little thing up this morning. I go, Wally's got the first nickel he made. He's not putting up 50K. And if he's a real man, he'd put up his 50 versus my 10 since he's so confident in Matt anyway. And now I've been proven to be right again. You are not willing to put 50K up. Is that right?
All right. How about this? We'll just make it a little bit more gentlemanly. I would be willing to go 2-1 odds on Matt Martin. I'll put up 100. So if Matt Martin wins, I win 100. If Matt Martin loses, you win 200. How's that?
200K?
I'm not confident in Matt Martin.
200,000?
No. $200.
No, it's not.
That's not this.
Come on. You were at 50 grand 18 hours ago.
Yeah, but you know, that was a little bit of chatter. My dad taught me not to
gamble. What did I tell you, Boom? I told you that's how it was going to play out.
But from 50K to 100?
Yeah, it's embarrassing. What are we talking about, Wally? Come on,
it's
man.
You've embarrassed yourself here today.
I mean, you played the NBA, for God's sake.
You put up 25, I'll put up 5.
I know, and you were just extolling the virtues of your partner Matt Martin's golf game and everything else, and now all of a sudden you're backing down.
Plus, we got you the MSG job 8 years ago. Don't we get something from
him? Well, like I said, I heard someone doesn't pay their bets if they do lose.
No,
well,
ugly. Listen, he cheated. The rules this time are money up front. It's going to be held by Boomer can hold the money. I don't care. Money up front or no wager. So I'll tell you what, I got to get Jerry's update. If and when you're willing, and I hate using this term, but I have to use it, to man up and put the money up that you said you would put up yesterday against my 10 grand, I'm here. We're going to try to play in the next 2 weeks. That's it.
All right, we'll try to make it happen.
Well, we know it's not going to happen. Well, I appreciate you coming.
I still have 10 grand on the line. I still have my 10 grand on the line.
Yeah, and I'll deal with Matt tonight's softball about that.
All right.
He's got to put something up, too. He's got to risk something other than humiliation.
That's a lot to risk.
True. Here's Jerry Recco. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning. Brought to you
told
by...
You. There's no way he was putting 50. I told you. I told when you said it, I told you.
It was close.
I put 50 grand up.
200.
You put up $100.
We're brought to you by Rutgers Football. Get your tickets to the home opener today, scarletknights.com. Yankees, Tigers in Detroit. It's not just Gary Sanchez hitting home runs. Seem up and down the lineup, the Yankees are going yard.
Now the 1-0. Swung on, a high fly to right center. Presley going back and Roman, and that ball is gone into the seats over the scoreboard wall. Oh, my, what a home run. Yes, indeed.
I got to tell you, John, I didn't see that one either. I'm going to, when I talk to Dee Dee, I'm going to go, didn't think you had the power to get it out there, kid. Oh.
Yeah. Yankees won 10-2. Gary Sanchez also homered. Ronald Torres was 4-for-4.
How about Severino? 11-5, man. You would think it feels like he'd be like 16-2 or something like that, you know?
He's had some crappy outings.
Well, how many more starts does Severino get? 8?
Oh, we got 30. No, I'll probably get 7 more. Yeah, probably 7 or 8. That's probably about right. I would say 7.
15 yeah, wins? Like yeah, listen, he gets 15 wins.
He's had a good season. No doubt.
Yeah, his record does not belie as good as he's been, really. That's my opinion.
Probably true. Here's Didi. Is the team loose again?
I mean, we're playing good. We played, even though we lost a couple games, but again, the Boston series, but we play our best, and I think that's what we're doing now.
And how about the fact, Torres, I mentioned he's 4-for-4. You know how many pitches he saw last night?
How many?
5.
6. That was it.
So I think we all have been very aggressive in the box.
That's it, man.
I'll tell you what,
go after it. That was his translator. That was his translator.
He sounds like a jockey.
Somebody sounds like A-Rod right there.
Right. That was not him.
Oh, that wasn't him?
No, it's his interpreter.
The translator sounds like Steve Cawthon.
Who the hell is Steve Cawthon?
You remember Steve, the great Steve Cawthon?
Oh, the great Steve. Hold on. Al, Steve Cawthon, go. Who is
Steve Cawthon? He's terrific in the broadcasting industry.
No.
Eddie, Steve Cawthon.
Eddie knows, by the way.
A jockey?
Yes.
Yes, he's one of the...
He won the
good
Derby
job,
in the 70s.
Well, the horse won the Derby.
Well, whatever. He was really young.
He was on the horse.
He was the youngest jockey to win the Triple Crown.
That's right, Steve Cawthon.
How do you not remember the great Steve
Cawthon? What years was this exactly?
This was 1977.
I was born in 74.
Do you think a jockey has...
Hold on, pardon me for one moment now. Just for a
did you not hear of Babe Ruth?
Yeah,
were you born in 1925?
When you were born, that's something to
don't
you know.
Do me a favor. You don't start asking me about jockeys from the 1970s.
Yeah,
I couldn't name a jockey from 2017.
But Steve Clawson is the signature iconic
the
American
signature,
jockey.
Iconic. I know you love throwing that word around,
he
but
is.
He is iconic.
He is.
Did he talk to Secretariat?
Mike talked to Secretariat.
Oh, sorry. Okay, fine. Whatever.
He is
iconic.
The single most iconic American-born jockey.
I mean, he is so awesome. The next five people that call in will know who Steve Coffin is. Steve.
Coffin. Coffin.
Coffin. Steve Coffin.
Next to Secretariat, who's the greatest horse of the 70s, according to most people?
I don't know.
Affirmed. Right.
Yeah, definitely Affirmed.
Or is Seattle Slough, maybe.
Affirmed.
Yeah, Seattle Slough.
He rode Affirmed in 1978. He was the youngest jockey to ever win the U.S. Triple Crown. And
yeah.
He was actually the SI Sportsman of the Year.
There's
I've met him
Ruth,
a couple times.
Steve Coffin
there's
or
Jordan?
Yeah.
Coffin. There's yeah. Gretzky.
Steve Coffin.
There's Coffin.
Well, what's wrong with you people?
You remember American Pharoah?
Yeah, I do.
American Pharoah won the Triple Crown in 2015, a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, sure.
The last guy to do it as a jockey prior to Espinosa was?
Coffin.
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 T-H. Coffin.
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 Steven Espinosa.
Yeah, Steven Espinosa.
Would you put him in the mouth?
That guy could bore you right out of your pants at a press conference, too. Holy moly. I watch this and I go, would you stop talking? Let's get to the fighters. My God, man. What is it out there? You have something to say about jockeys?
Would you put him on the Mount Rushmore of jockeys?
Steve Espinosa?
Yeah.
No, he's brutal.
No, but Coffin.
Steve Coffin?
Do you think Steve Coffin had anything to do with those victories?
Coffin.
The victories?
Yeah, of course. I got to drive the horse.
No, nothing at all.
Right.
He
knew where to whip the horse.
The horse is just pissed that he's being whipped, so he runs a little faster. The horse doesn't know either.
Doesn't he follow the bunny?
No, there's no bunny.
Those are greyhounds.
And as long as you're a lightweight, you're going to win the race.
Well, they all are.
No, if you're on the fastest horse.
Pretty much.
Right. If you're the thinnest jockey and you're on the fastest horse, you win.
Al, you might have a future as a jockey.
I'll be more than happy to set up a day at Belmont for you, and you can get on one of these thoroughbreds, and you could race it just to see what it feels like.
I do not want to do that.
No, he of course mean, you don't.
You might break him.
Al wouldn't even run next to the horse.
Yeah.
But Al's legs are so spindly and thin.
I would love to see you get up there as opposed to sitting there, you know, criticizing the jockeys and what they do.
He's making fun of their size. Yes, they're small men.
They have to be.
Correct. Steve Coffin.
They don't have to be if all the jockeys were
larger or
bigger
size,
size
right?
Then that would just be factored in.
I don't think that would be good for the horses.
Because what they're doing now is good for them.
Yeah, it's better to carry 9 German tourists around Central Park.
Are you really saying?
If they can handle that, they can handle one human being on their back.
Or they go like this. Or they just go, the horses just, we make a deal with them. A regular, average-sized man, but don't whip us.
Right. How about that?
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
All right.
Steve Coffin. How have you guys never heard of Steve Coffin?
I mean, again, with this.
That disappoints me.
Why?
It happened before.
Dude,
I
don't like horse racing. I'm not interested in it. And, I mean, there are things you're not interested in.
But I know who Steve Coffin is.
I don't know about that. You worked at a racetrack.
I did. I worked at Yonkers Raceway.
So how could you say you're not interested in it? You had some level of interest to work there.
That's harness racing, though.
And that's harness racing.
Yeah, but it's still racing.
Not
I mean, you had something that you like. You like gambling, right? You've won 17 consecutive of these races.
Well, I have a gift when it comes to picking races.
Right. So
I don't gamble on
them. You do pay attention to it a little bit.
I do not.
Kentucky Derby's on. I have zero interest in watching.
I want to be clear with this. I don't. It's one of these weird things where, you know, when Beethoven sat down at the piano, he could just play. I see 58 black and white keys. I can't really play that well. But when it comes to horse racing, I just can see a program and know who's going to win the race.
What are your thoughts of Louis Oosthuizen?
The golfer?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a golfer. He won the Masters once.
Right.
I can't spell his name, though.
Very well done. Thought I'd get you on that one.
See?
That was pretty good.
Yeah, well,
Let me ask a question. What do I do for
good.
A living?
Didn't we talk to him about
you entertain
last week?
Us. What?
We talked about Louis Oosthuizen.
No,
we did.
Yes, we did.
We didn't talk about it when he won the Masters. Other than how to spell his name or Jim Nance guffawing over him.
I'm going to give him my tie.
You think Jim Nance gave the new Romo baby a tie for a present?
No.
And if you're Tony Romo, can't you broadcast to it this weekend? What are we doing?
Well, he's in Dallas. And where's the game he was doing? Seattle? Is that where it was?
I have no idea.
The baby was born, right?
Yeah.
Baby Jones, I love that. Jones McCoy Romo. Hey, Jones Romo. That's a great name for a boy. I like that a lot.
Well, it's
oh, look at the cute little baby.
Seems like it's after the Jones family.
You just picked up on that one?
Yeah, exactly.
God, why name Jones? Because he's got a little side deal going on with Jerry. I want me some glory hole, but Tony already got that 3 times. Jones Romo. Imagine when that kid's 16. So, Dad, I want you to tell me, who was I named after? Well, son, I want to tell you about a man named Jerry Jones. May he rest in peace. He was a swashbuckler.
Why are you killing him?
How old is Jerry Jones?
I don't know.
He's in his mid-70s.
All right.
He can't live till 100. So, therefore, he'll be dead
when
the kid's 16.
Your math isn't good. He can't live till 90?
No, he's dead before 90. Most of us will be dead before 90. How many 9 year olds
you know?
You better
hope not. You might be more and more every year, more and more.
Trust me, you're not going to see 90 either.
Why?
I'm not going to see 90. You for sure aren't going to see 90.
What do you mean I'm not going to see 90?
Al might see 99 just to be miserable.
Jerry Jones is 74. He'd be 90 in 16 years.
Yeah, that's not happening.
He'll be alive.
Jones Romo's not going to have Jerry Jones at a Sweet 16 party. Sadly enough.
I think he'll
maybe at his bar mitzvah. You know, the
I think he'll be there.
I just want to say good yontif. Shalom. And you know, I'm your godfather.
I bet she's the godfather. Do you have a godfather?
I do.
Do your kids have godfathers?
They do.
They do?
Yes.
Do they want change to me? Either one of them?
No.
No?
No.
Do you have a godfather, Jer?
Yes.
You do. Pause now. Sorry for
no, I do, of course.
My godfather is no longer living, okay. Unfortunately.
Is Boomer Anthony's godfather?
No.
No, he's not. He's King's godfather.
Yeah, okay.
That's my dog.
Yeah, that's your dog.
Because you love the dogs.
Jerry, you know who Tracy Austin is?
Yes.
Oh. You've heard of her. What
exercise
do you know about Tracy
guru.
Austin?
Exercise.
No, not Denise Austin.
Oh, damn.
Denise Austin.
Oh, the tennis player. I'm
yes,
sorry.
That's correct.
I was thinking Denise.
I think it's Denise. Isn't, wasn't it like Denise?
No, it was Denise
Susan Austin. Powder, Denise Austin, right.
Yeah.
And then who is Kiara? She was the hot Hawaiian girl that used to be on that. The only exercise show men ever watched.
Kiara.
Was the
her.
ESPN early morning exercise show.
Oh, on
with,
the beach.
The big boobed hot Hawaiian girl named Kiana.
And they did it right by the water,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
I remember
and then
that.
They brought that dude in who always wore those weird black tight pants down. Like, you know, he's like, it's going to be a good day because I do the pecs. Ha, Kiana, show them the boobs. Do the boob thing. And then you have Kiana, who's hotter than a pistol. Out there in her tight spandex, her big Hawaiian boobs are all hanging out. Franz, this is the best workout I've had for my pecs ever. And they're always like in Hawaii or like in, you know, somewhere in the South Pacific.
They,
just
all,
looking
they, always, they always had their mat.
Then they brought the chubby girl in. And everyone's like, ew. That's when ESPN really jumped the shark. They brought the one heavy girl in to show that you too could do these exercises and get hot. But all they did was like, this is going to be the greatest workout we've ever done. Me and Kiana, we do workout tape for you. And then we drink smoothies with green grass inside the smoothie. It tastes like crap, but you look so hot.
Yes.
And then I remember they used to do this thing where it was a Kiara Kiana. Kiana, right? She had, I mean, she's a beautiful woman. They always did this thing. It always pissed me off. In a good way. And you know, they go from the, look at the pecs, look at the boobs. The boobs are so good. And then they did the old, they would do like, what is this, this thing? What's like a lat pull down?
No, it's not a lat pull down.
They got like the Nautilus machine.
Yes.
And they're doing like the triceps, right?
Yes.
And they would always have Kiana, they always got a little side boob action. And she's always like,
And it doesn't look good from behind, though.
He does have side boob.
A cups. You'd be in the other room, and you all you'd hear is. And you're like, is mom home? No. Good. Get the toilet paper roll and the Vaseline. We're having a party.
Oh, God.
Huh? You all know what I'm talking about, too. And you don't act like you didn't either.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know what I'm talking about. Al, you were special. When you hit 23 and decided that was okay and you weren't going to hell,
mm-hmm.
Kiara was the it.
When did they take that off the air?
Oh, at least 15 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. But do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I remember them standing awesome. On their mats. And they
I actually
like,
wanted to work out.
They'd be running in place and they put
The in-place run. Oh. It's like when Wheel of Fortune did like the 1 week from Hawaii and Vanuatu was like, this car, like Hans and this is fan. Oh, can you feel the burn? And you're like, you're in Hawaii. You know, I'm sitting there in Cleveland, Ohio, going, I don't feel the burn, but I'm running in place though. And then they would do the old, Keanu's got hot calves. Let's do the stretch. Oh, toe back. And I'm trying to get a glimpse of the going, like, this is the greatest workout program of all time.
Yes, it was.
I wish they'd bring it back, by the way.
Yeah. Well, they should bring it
why?
Back.
Why? You're not going to do it?
Maybe I would, although she's probably bunk now, you know.
I don't
she's
know.
All bunzed up, for sure.
I got you Body Beast, remember that?
Yeah, I liked it too. What? Yeah.
I was Googling Denise Austin, remember her?
Yeah, we brought up that.
Yeah, no. She still looks terrific.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah.
And strangely, she's married to Tracy Austin's brother, who's coming in today.
For real?
Yeah.
Who knew?
I did not know that. No.
Way to kill all momentum, Al. Thanks for that, you brick wall.
You guys ever see that Keanu?
What was her last name? Was her last name Lee? Kind of Key or Lee? She Robert's aunt? Maybe? I don't know, turn on your mic if you want to participate, will you? And Al, turn yours off, please. Here's real quick. I got to take a break. Jackson, Karlstad. Jack, what do you got today, Hammer? Jack?
Oh.
What's her name? Kiana Tom. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, that was a Kiana Tom. You should book her in studio.
Kiana Tom.
Yeah.
Where is she?
What is that, Al's job? Find out.
No, what time is
what time is Tracy Austin coming by?
9:30 she'll be here.
For some reason, I always say, whenever I think of Tracy Austin, I think of Debbie Gibson.
They're different.
No, I'm aware of that.
That's stupid.
I don't know why I always think of Deborah Gibson when I think of Tracy Austin.
Oh, I hope Tracy's prepared to sing something for us.
Yes, I bet she. What is she doing today? Is she a tennis coach or something?
She's doing something with tennis, yeah.
Well, U.S. Open's coming up.
Is she on TV? She's an NBC broadcaster, maybe? When's U.S. Open
start? I would think she's probably on... Probably ESPN, I think, isn't she?
No, it's CBS that's U.S. Open, right? Would you guys give that up, Boom?
Oh, that's true, right.
Who's got the U.S. Doesn't CBS have the U.S. Open? Or do you guys give it up? Boom's on Keanu's Flex Appeal page right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, CBS had it for a long time.
I think, there you go, the sexy shoulder workout.
Yes.
And the dude in the black spaghetti string top, that's the guy.
Yes.
Pain in the ass, that guy was manhandling her with those big beefy man hooks is nonstop. Get your hands off, Kiana.
You are...
A prize.
Boomer and Carton.
Yes, and he's our prize. And we're only 2 hours into this show already this morning.
Well, would you rather talk about Colin Kaepernick?
No.
I didn't see Spike Lee there.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
A couple years ago, old friend of the show, who's a New Rochelle guy, decided to join the event, but he decided not to join the Boomer and Carton team. Instead, he decided to play for New Rochelle, where his family built a beautiful church, actually. And he joins us on the hotline now. You may know him as Mariano Rivera. I know him as my opponent. Mo, how you been, buddy? Boomer and Craig.
It looks better like your nemesis, brother.
You are my nemesis. And unlike last year, where I allowed Boomer's nephew to get up against you, bases loaded, 2 outs in the ninth, should that same circumstance arise tonight, it'll be me with the stick in my hand. And you know that bodes trouble for you.
That's all right, brother. We can't handle that. I've been there before.
A few times. Anyhow, how you been, bud?
I'm good, bro. I'm good, brother. Nice to be with you guys, man. Early in the morning, huh?
Exercise,
man.
He's exercising. Yeah, we're exercising too, Mariano. We're eating cheese and we got ham in here. We got all sorts of bread and everything else. Hey, let me ask you a question. I look forward to seeing you tonight. You're great for doing this and you're great for being a pillar of the community up there in New Rochelle. But I want to ask you about what's going on with Aroldis Chapman and how the Yankees are handling him and what Joe Girardi's doing with him and kind of give fans a perspective from where you come from about what's going on with the bullpen of the Yankees.
Well, I mean, starting with Aroldis Chapman, he's closer to his proof. He doesn't have to prove nothing to no one, first of all.
Right.
But the thing is, one thing that he needs to understand, and we all need to understand, that sometimes we go through a week, about a week, or sometimes 2 weeks of struggle. You know, everybody goes through that. Hitters go through it. Pitchers go through it. And so the relievers, the starters go through it, you know. But at the same time, my question to Aroldis will be that if his mind is okay. If his mind is okay, the rest is fixable. The rest is just little tweaks here and there, and he'll be okay. I mean, that's one thing that we cannot control when it gets to the mind. When it gets to the mind, that you're fighting, you're playing with fire. You know, most of the time when you play with fire, you're going to get burned.
You think? So, do you think Joe Girardi and those guys are doing the right thing by dropping him and kind of getting him out of the spotlight of being the closer right now?
Well, I mean, I never was in that situation before. So I would say that Joe is the skip. He's the manager. He's do the best for the team. And I think that taking it away a little bit from that thing or that emotion, that tough time, it will bring in a little bit more confidence. If I was Chapman, I wanted to be there as much as I can so I can go back and find my slot. You know, that will be something that I will be doing if I was him. You know, I mean, taking the consideration that Joe has done tremendous job with that team, with that bullpen specific, and giving him the opportunity to just relax and come back strong, because we're going to need him for September. So, I mean, if he take this time and get well, you know, mentally, physically he's ready, man. He's a bull. He's ready. You know, but I don't know mentally. You know, I mean, I want to understand and I want to believe that he's mentally okay, and just when he's going through a little tough time, rough times. I went through that every year.
No, I know you're not like that. You didn't.
but at the same time, he just has to feel confident that he's the man. You know, no one's better than him.
Talking to Mariano Rivera.
Well, that's how Craig feels as our manager going into tonight's game, that he's the man. But, you know, he usually screws this up, Mariano. So I'll just have to deal and I'll just have to be quiet tonight.
Thank God that the New York Yankees are away, bro. Because we might have everybody there.
You playing first base again tonight or are you pitching? What are you doing?
Bro, you know what my position is. You know, don't worry about my team. You know, don't worry about your team. I'll be worried about my team.
I'm not too worried about it. Hey, I wondered if this Yankee team were healthy, meaning Bird's playing first base and, you know, Sanchez and Judge and everyone and Castro's back and healthy. If they had to play against your best Yankee team, how would that game go, you think?
I won't put that game because that's still the New York Yankees. You know, I mean, we have great teams, man. I mean, I don't know how that will be. I know my team. You know, I never played with these guys. I played with a few of them, but not with everybody. But I played with all those teams on 90s or 96 to 2003, 2004. And there were some nasty people there. So, I mean, with that, I always go for the New York Yankees.
Do you see any similarities just based on the Yankees rebuilt? They have a lot of young guys who are playing great ball. Obviously, Sanchez is hitting it again. Judge had that great first half. Do you when you watch it, are you entertained by this Yankee team? And do you see any similarities when you guys first started winning a lot of ball games?
I love it, man. I love it. I see a lot of similarities. I love it. It's fun. Again, the Yankees are doing tremendous job. And I will not count the Yankees out. I will not count the Yankees. I will say it again. I will not count the Yankees out.
They Mariano have Rivera.
They have all kind of potential there, you know. And tell you what, I will not count Josh out either. You know, the guy is going through a little tough time. But again, I say it before and I will say it again. They all go through that. But September is going to be a monster month for him. So, I mean, just keep watching and keep believing.
Well, we'll do both those things.
Well, Craigie's a huge Yankee fan.
I'll take care of the believer part.
Yeah, he's a believer. But I will say this, and the one thing that I've seen the last couple games, Judge is starting to hit the ball again. And as Joe Girardi said last week, you know what? You know, he's starting. I like his at bats. He's starting to hit the ball again. He's looking a little bit more comfortable in the box. And I thought you said something about the way that Joe Girardi handles his team, Mariano. And I think you're absolutely correct. He sat Judge the other day to get the strikeout streak over with. And I think he did him a big favor, even though he would never admit it. But I think Joe looks at these guys and realizes that when somebody has trouble, it's time to start moving these guys around, whether it be in the order or whether it be in the bullpen. And certainly I think he has even played with his starting pitchers from time to time, knowing that, you know, they've gone, like, say, six innings when he probably can go with Severino last night. Could have won a little bit more with him, but said, you know, let's get him out of there. He's had a great game up to that point. So You've been around Joe. You know what it means to be a working with a manager who understands the way the players feel, and he plays to that, he manages to that, and that's why I think Joe Girardi really deserves a lot of credit with this.
I tell you what, he deserves all the credit, but people forget that he was a player too, and he was a great player, you know, great catcher. You know, he wasn't maybe the best receiver and all that stuff, but he was a great catcher. Whether people like it or not. In that way, he respects the players. You know, he's a player's manager. He does believe what the players need to do. When the player needs a little rest, he will give it regardless if the player wants it or not. You know, when the player needs a little push, he's going to push them. When the player needs a little more confidence, he will give confidence. You know, he's a player manager. That he cares about the players. He cares about the team. And when you do good for Joe, and I would say for everybody, well, I cannot say because I never played with no other manager but Joe Torre, Joe Girardi, and Buck Walter. And Joe Girardi, you give him the best. He cannot ask more than that. So that's wonderful. I mean, he does a tremendous job with the team.
Well, listen, we will see you tonight. The game starts at 6. We'll be there by 5:15 or 5:30. Try to be on time. I know you're Mariano Rivera, and you know, you show up when you want to show up, but be on time and just be ready for play a little softball tonight. I guarantee I'll get a hit against you again, and we'll have a good time tonight. Lots of people coming out, and as always, appreciate your support for the event.
No, but you said that you would be there at 5:30. That's a lie, man. You always be there like 4:30, 2 hours and a half before the game to talk to this guy, telling, oh, we got to win this game. We got to do this. We got to do that. And at the game, man, you always lose, you know. So that's okay. We take that challenge, brother. I'll be ready.
Just be ready. That's all.
All right, brother.
All right, be good, Mo. Appreciate it, buddy.
Take care, guys.
All right, see you, Mariano. You know, he's a great guy. And, you know, the thing about it is, I'm telling you, Joe Girardi, more this year more than ever before, watching him handle whether it be Judge or Sanchez, tough love, or let's sit the guy down and get the streak over with, how he handles his starting pitching staff, and certainly what he's done with Aroldis Chapman here.
Yep, Boomer and Carton on the Fan.
It's Boomer and Carton, mornings from 6 to 10 on the Fan.
You're here, of course, U.S. Open starts in like a month or soon, right? Tomorrow? Is it tomorrow? Tonight?
Monday.
It starts Monday. I'm a big fan of it, actually.
Okay.
You know, they do, the U.S. Open is a little known fact. The Fifth Avenue stores that sell their products during the, it's a 2 week or 3 weeks?
Two weeks.
During the 2 weeks of the U.S. Open. I'm talking about like Abercrombie & Fitch, Polo, whoever it is. They do more sales in those 2 weeks at the Open than they do the entire year on Fifth Avenue.
That's incredible.
That's because the tennis folk like to buy stuff.
They like to buy stuff. And think how many tennis fans come into town.
Great. And with obviously Arthur Ashe Stadium and all the refurbishing of it. So it's a great place. If you've never been to the Open and you can afford to go or get a ticket, by all means, you should go. You, of course, had some magical moments there, which is one of the reasons you're here to talk to us today beyond the Tennis Channel and this great new coffee product called Lavazza. But when you look back on your life, which I'm sure you've done a million times over and talked to guys like us probably too many times, is there an aspect of being 16 years old and 9 months and winning not just any major, but our favorite major, where it's no longer real? I don't want to say surreal, where, hey, that was somebody else, it wasn't me.
Yeah, that's a really, really good question, because I have kids older than when I was winning the U.S. Open at 16 and 18. So I look back at pictures, and obviously it feels like me, but it's so long ago. And I think the fact that I was 16 and so naive going into that championship against Chris Evert, who'd won it 4 or 5 times in a row already, I would have been overwhelmed if I knew what a big deal it really was. So I went in there just thinking about what am I going to have to do to beat Chris today, not how it's going to change my life.
Now, what's interesting is that, you know, she was America's sweetheart. When you beat Navratilova, people were on your side. They're rooting for you. You're a young American girl. You're going after Martina Navratilova.
In the semis.
In the semis. And that's, I mean, you had the whole place on your side. And I wonder what it was like being a kid. But now you're going after Chris Evert. And we adored her. And were people...
Sounds like you adored her.
Well, I did. Listen, I'm 48 years old. So yes, I adored Chris Evert.
You guys are right in his wheelhouse.
But I always wondered that. You went from the fan favorite to, not that you were booed, but, well, all right, she got this far. This is Chris's tournament. So did you feel that dynamic?
No, not at all. I think a lot of people were rooting for, supposedly at that time, the underdog. And, you know, 16 years old, she's never going to beat her. And it was kind of an anomaly. And young American as well. At the time, I had pigtails. So people were, I probably looked even younger. So, no, I didn't feel that. And the other thing is that when you're out on the court, that wasn't something that I focused on. It wasn't something that I really cared about. All I was thinking about was inside that rectangle. I didn't know that there was anybody in the stands except my mom. Once in a while, I would look at her. Once in a while, I would look over at my coach. But other than that, I look back at the match, and I haven't done it that often, but I look back, and I was like almost a robot. I'd finish a point, and I'd go boom, next to the next.
Sorry, boom. I'm going to interrupt you for a minute. I'm going to train a thought after finishing. I can't let you do your thing.
No, smash your face in his cake, by the way.
So you brought something. You haven't watched it a lot. Have you watched it with your kids?
No, I have not.
Have they watched it?
I don't think they've ever watched
These
it.
These are
no,
lousy
I
kids. Come no, on. I... Don't you sit down like it's Austin Family Night and kids are making you watch when mommy beat Chris Evert to win one of 2 U.S. Open titles.
No.
I'll watch it with your kids.
No.
They have
you
not
know what?
Watched it. That's no, fascinating to me.
Yeah. No, I'm just mom to them, and that's the way I kind of want it. And actually, I have three sons, and I have one son that takes tennis really seriously, and he hasn't even watched it.
Can you beat him?
No, I cannot beat him. He's 19. He plays at USC.
Come on. He hasn't watched it. He's had to watch it.
He maybe have watched a couple of points when I go on a news show, but no. I don't even know where I would even find it. I'm sure we have it in our house somewhere.
It's got to be on YouTube somewhere.
That fascinates me. So your kids have not seen.
You know, what I want to ask you is at the age of 16, were the girls, were they trying to intimidate you? Or did you feel intimidated in any way? You're in a locker room filled with adults, filled with champions, filled with aggressive ladies. Did they try to intimidate you in that fashion?
Well, there were some that did. Right. I'm not going to name names, but there were some. I mean, think about it. I was 14 when I started playing on the tour.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, I have
a 16-year-old daughter. That's
I was
I'm
4 foot 11.
No
I was 89 pounds, and I'm starting to play the tour. And so there were some. My sister actually played on the tour. So there were some that were friends with her that kind of embraced me and kind of were trying to show me the way. And then there were others that really didn't like it when I started to beat them. And so... You know, there were certain things that they might say to newspapers, reporters that didn't make me feel comfortable. But that's sports, right? So I had to get over that. But it was difficult. Think about it as well. When you went on the football field, you felt like they were your peers.
Sure.
At 14, I didn't have many peers out there.
How
and
could
everybody
you, right?
was 4 to 6
do
years older.
Do you view yourself as a cautionary tale in that maybe it was too much at too young an age?
No.
For you to have the
the one that came after you was Jennifer Capriati, right?
Jennifer Capriati.
And she's the one that had the problems later on in life.
Yeah, I think what's important is that my dad still had his job. My dad was still making his own money. And this was something that I wanted to do. I think that in sports, whether it's football or baseball or hockey, tennis, whatever it is, it's when it's the parents' idea and it's the parents that's looking for the end game, which is the money and the commercials and all of that, they're looking at it in the wrong way. It's supposed to be a journey that you love. It's a game. It's supposed to be a passion.
So when you
I felt like I had the good foundation.
When you see like LeVar Ball and the Ball family, that must drive you crazy. Not nothing for the kids are wonderful kids and talented and will make the NBA or not on their own merit. But when you see a helicopter dad like that who's making it about himself, that's got to drive you bonkers, right?
Well, I think it shouldn't be about the parents. It should definitely be about the kids. I think he has three boys, and they're in the Los Angeles area. And that's where I live. So I've heard a lot about them and the talent that they have. And so, yeah, I think that the parents should be in the background as much as possible. And it should be about the kids, and it should be the kids' passion. I mean, I think the parents obviously are very important in a positive way, because when you're going through this journey, you have to have people to fall back on, to, you know, to help pick up the pieces if you get down. But it should basically be about the kids.
Talking to Tracy Austin now, were your parents tennis players, or were you just a gifted young athlete and they saw that and embraced your desires to play and, you know, taxi cabbed you from here to there? Or were they also players and you learned it from watching your mom or dad play?
Yeah, my dad was a nuclear physicist. He went to MIT.
What?
Yes, exactly.
Can
so
he count had, cards when...
So he had no idea about tennis, no desire.
Really?
It was my mom.
Like a legitimate...
Like a nuclear like sent, like really? Biking to Mars, worked
legitimate
on that.
Legitimate...
Yeah. Like he would have loved,
smartest
he's passed away.
Room.
Yes, he would have loved the eclipse and how many miles and how fast the speed of light and all that stuff. So, yes, so he wasn't a real sports fanatic.
Sure.
My mom worked at a tennis club with Jack Kramer, who's the old tennis player, number one in the world. He started a tennis club in our area and was looking for someone to run the pro shop. And he had met my mom at the local park. She started playing tennis after her fourth kid. And loved tennis, and so she said, sure, I'll run the pro shop, I'll be the manager. I was the fifth kid, came along right when the club started.
So you haven't
been there. It was kind of that perfect storm, how it just got lucky. Everybody else played, so I played. Loved it.
Who are the youngest ones on tour now? Do you ever see this happening ever again?
You know, I don't, because they put in the age eligibility rule on the women's side where you have to have it stepped up every level until you're 18 where you can finally play unlimited. And I think it's changed physically as well. You know, I talked about I was 4'11", 89 pounds, and I still got to the quarters of the U.S. Open at 14.
Right.
That wouldn't happen now because the players are so much stronger. They're so much taller, physically more imposing. They travel with trainers. They travel with physios. So it's a different game. It's more physical now.
Do you think at 14 you'd be drinking Lavazza coffee to get you through a match? Is that something you might do?
Yeah, I might do that. Lavazza coffee is important.
What's the story of this? So they obviously have the K-Cups. So you can bang it out for your Keurig. You have to these days. And what's the connection with Lavazza?
Lavazza is relaunching the K-Cup here in the United States. It's an Italian coffee company that's been around over 120 years. It's family-owned. And I think it's the relaunch of the K-Cup that's important, trying to build that legacy of Lavazza and the U.S. Open. All those players are trying to continue to build their legacy. Like Roger Federer, he's 36 years old.
And he's like an old man now in tennis.
Yeah, but that
by
old man is
terms,
still playing at
that
a very,
man,
very high level.
Yeah,
man.
Like Tom Brady, he's not doing too
well. You know what
poorly.
He's doing? He's being smart. He's not playing in all these tournaments. He's basically keeping himself fresh for all the majors, which is why he's so successful this late in his career. Because the things that he does on the tennis court, you could appreciate it more than I can. Just the little subtle things that he does to win matches is amazing. And I only know that simply because I have a friend that just loves tennis.
Right.
And all he ever tells me is just watch his footwork. Watch how he drops the ball. Watch his shoulders. Watch his overhand. You know, it's crazy all the little things that he does that nobody else seems to be capable
Tracy,
of doing.
Boomer can't beat me at tennis.
How do you know?
There's certain things you know in life. It's one of the great things. Like, he's obviously a pro athlete, so he's got me in most things.
I bet his serve is big.
Can't beat me in tennis.
No.
And he kills him.
You know what, Tracy,
I'll
tell you something. I let him go off in these tangents. I don't know why, because I think it just makes him feel better about himself, and I'm always trying to keep him up.
You're trying to keep him positive, right?
We have never
give him some confidence.
We have never played tennis together. All I can tell you is that when my foot, I have plantar fasciitis, when my foot calms down and it's good again, I'm going to take him out. I'm going to beat his ass like he's
not
never
gonna
been beaten
we
before.
Were invited to
just
play.
Just serve big.
Yeah,
and then you won't even have to worry about your plantar fasciitis.
He doesn't have that.
I do have that.
He knows. We all know. It's one of the things we just have to know.
I'm more of a clay court guy anyway.
See?
Already.
You like the clay because that's easier on the foot as well.
Yes, and you can slide.
But you know what? Boomer brought up a great point. Is that Roger's managing his schedule. And I think that's really important. And he's also taking care of his body. That's why we're seeing these players being able to play until they're 36.
Sure.
Serena, it was 35 when she won the U.S. Open.
Let me ask you this. I wonder what the relationship you had or have with John McEnroe.
John and I have a really good relationship.
You do.
We came up together first Wimbledon. I played. I was 14, and he was 18, and he got to the semifinals.
Right.
We won the first U.S. Open together.
With the funky headband he was wearing.
With the headband and the tight little shorts.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
everyone seems to hate Jimmy Connors.
I love Jimmy Connors.
He's like an ornery guy, tough to get along with. I used to love Jimmy Connors. Jimmy was good to you, good guy. You have a relationship with him?
I've known Jimmy since I was a little girl. He was actually roommates with my brother Jeff at UCLA. The one year that Jimmy went to school.
You think he's misunderstood, or just some people just he don't like?
Well, I think what was great about that era, it's so different.
Personalities.
I mean, Roger and Rafa have great personalities, but they love each other. Right. There was so much hatred between Jimmy and John.
Right.
And it's still there a little bit, which is kind of interesting.
Right.
And when they got on the court, they wanted to kill each other.
That's
and
awesome.
Then Lendl, throw in Lendl, and right. they wanted to kill him as well. So when you're watching this match, you really, I think as fans, you're invested in a match, whether you're watching a basketball game or baseball game. Oftentimes, as a fan, you either love a team and you want them to win, or you hate that other team and you want them to lose. And so Jimmy and John brought that out.
We're talking to the great Tracy Austin. Are the tours still where it's really highly individualized, or is there more fraternization going on between the competitors?
Less than ever.
Right.
Because
when
everybody.
You say fraternization, you mean like.
Not sexually.
They get along, they travel together.
I just want to know if they're hanging out. And because what I hear is that everybody is so separated from each other that maybe back in the day it was a little bit different than that.
Well, you kind of relied on each other because maybe people had a coach and then everybody started having a coach. But still, now you look at it and they've got a coach, they have a hitting partner, they have a trainer, they have a physio.
And it's so egotistical because it's you against.
Well, you have so many people of your own team that people tend to hang out just together.
Did you just hear yourself? Yeah.
Yeah. Did you go to the Taste of Tennis tonight or no?
I'm not. Are you going?
I've been to it every year. This is the only year I'm not going because it's our softball. LaVazza
will be there. Yes.
We'll be at the Taste.
LaVazza will be
there.
Our good
friends of ours run the event.
Eddie, keep your hands off my LaVazza. Tracy bought it for me. The other thing I want to ask you, Maria Sharapova, real quickly. She got the exemption to come and play. Is she ready to be back? Are you ready for her to be back? Has she been out long enough?
Yes. Her suspension for performance-enhancing drugs was 15 months. She served her time. She came back in April. Kind of interesting because Jeannie Bouchard was tough on her.
Yes.
Called her a cheater.
Yep.
Thought she shouldn't be getting these wild cards.
Well, that was the French Open, right? And she did. The French did not allow her to play. Is that
the French
right?
did not? They
what
were going to
expect from them.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
So,
I mean,
were you disappointed
can't help
that she did not play in that, or did you think she should have been able to play in that?
Gosh, that's so tough. I mean, I think the French made their decision, and they had so many players that were complaining about Maria getting the wild cards and taking that away from someone else. They felt that because she was out for performance-enhancing drugs, she should work her way back in. But she's only played 4 tournaments in 4 months because she's already had 2 other injuries. So I personally am very glad that she's back at the U.S. Open.
LaVazza.
And the women's draw is wide open.
I was just reading about her this morning. She's basically saying she doesn't think that she's in shape, both mentally or physically, to do what it takes to win
a tournament.
She said that herself.
Well, I'm kind of paraphrasing.
Yeah, because she's only played the 4 tournaments.
She doesn't sound very confident, really.
But I will say she's a 5-time champion, and I put her in the conversation just because of the way that she competes, and there's so much opportunity.
Who's the odds-on favorite with Serena out?
I think Garbiñe Muguruza, who just won Wimbledon, has a good chance. And Simona Halep, don't tell me who on that one.
I know Simona Halep.
Okay.
And
Garbiñe Muguruza. Just won Wimbledon.
Muguruza? I can't say that. I got no shot at that.
Do you know how to
one.
Spell it?
No, I was going to ask you to spell it. We've been earlier on the show. You can't use a word unless you can spell it. How about that? So you're out. You can no longer say that.
I'm out. He's kicking me out.
No, listen. I could talk to you all day. I'm fascinated by the history of. I used to. It's funny. As Americans, you know the story. You know, 25 years ago, we loved tennis because there's so many American players. And then you went, Sampras came along. You had your moment, and Chris Everett. There was Chris Everett Lord. There was like the Chris Everett. And, the Williams, of course. But it's almost like it's similar to boxing.
Andy Roddick was the last male champion.
It's very similar to boxing in that we've lost the great American blank, whether it's the men or the women, doesn't matter. Other than with respect to Serena and Venus, who've dominated for a long time. And I just wonder if that phenom at 9 years old is out there somewhere in this country that 5, 6, 8, 9, 10 years from now will come on the scene as the great American, especially in the male side, where we've not had that since Andy Roddick.
You're exactly right. Andy Roddick was the last one to win a major, and that was 2003 U.S. Open. So that's 14 years.
Which is absurd.
Wow, that's a long time.
Like, we're better than every other country, especially the French.
Yeah, but who's been winning everything? It's Roger Federer, Rafa Nadal. It's the same five. He knows his stuff. Yes. They've been very stingy with hoarding all those majors.
Would you play mixed doubles with me against Boomer and the female pro of his choice, or no?
Sure, I guess.
Do you play still?
I do. I play 2 or 3 times a week.
As do I. So
I'm close
as do I. I want to see you play. Is your backhand good?
My backhand?
Yeah.
Nah.
No. So what's good?
My backhand is good only down the line.
Oh, because you can't hit it out in front enough?
I have a tough time coming around and hitting cross court because I have a two-handed backhand.
Right.
Which I think is the proper way to hit a backhand. But I have a tough time going cross court.
We'll work on that.
I won't, to be honest with you.
Won't.
But we had a deal, was it, with Hingis, right?
Yeah.
Or was it Monica Seles? I think Monica Seles was here.
Yeah.
And she promised us that if I found a female partner who could play, that she would play us in mixed doubles.
Okay. So you're going to play with Monica?
I don't get to play
with Boomer. I'm against Boomer. I don't want to face his serve.
He's got nothing.
You should see me at the net, too. When I'm going
to plantar fasciitis.
I'll try to hit him right in the face with the ball.
He can't. He still uses the old... How long
have you had this plantar fasciitis? That is a pain.
It is. It really is. Probably about 6 weeks.
Oh.
Yeah. And
it's so difficult to get over. It basically ruins your entire summer. It's just...
He's got a bad groin. His shoulder's killing him.
Well, he kind of had people hitting him, right, for many years?
He was a quarterback. He wasn't a linebacker.
They still hit you.
Yeah, back in the day when they actually could hit the quarterback.
Do you have any career regrets? I know we got to take a break and get out of here, but...
Career regrets, I didn't play the majors when I was in high school because I was in high school. Because
your father was so into academics?
No, I wanted to stay and finish my high school career.
Why?
And why weren't you around then?
You're 16 years old. You won the U.S. Open twice.
And then I went back to school.
I'd rather go to high school.
Yeah. Stupid choices.
You're playing in high school, so you win the league. You win your division in high school.
Is dumb. That, Boomer, why didn't you tell me?
You have all those trophies still?
No.
That'd be great. So you have the poor kid out there, like in Scarsdale.
Right.
Oh, the tennis regionals are up. Who are you playing against? Tracy, oh my gosh.
No, I actually didn't play in high school, but I went back to high school, I should have. You know, I won the Italian, beat Chris, and then I went back during the French to high school to study.
You had no
history
people in your life giving you good advice.
No,
then.
And by the way,
right?
You look like you're still in great shape. What are you benching these days?
We ask all our guests that.
We want to know what you can bench.
Not much.
Do you want the piece of the cake that's got our picture, the name of the show, or just the pretty flowers?
Well, I like the name of the show, but I don't want to. Right. That's kind of... No, don't... Oh, it's
no
such
worries.
A beautiful cake.
Well, yeah, it was made... Grandma's house made it to eat it, not to take pictures of
it. Oh, that's nice.
By the way, he's cutting it with a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
That's right.
That. Is that clean?
As far as you know.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. And what's inside? Is it...
Inside the cake?
Yes.
Jimmy Connors?
Jimmy Connors. You didn't speak very well about Jimmy. Have you had him on the show?
No, I used to love Jimmy Connors.
No, yeah.
I love him.
And John McEnroe and I battle all the time, and his wife got pissed at me in an elevator once because he played Lendl in an exhibition match at the Garden maybe eight years ago.
I can eat it right off.
And
there.
He pulled out.
Here's a plate right here. I think he's not going to share, though.
I want to make sure it's good. That of your,
is it good?
I want to make sure that it goes good with Lavazza. I want to make sure that Tracy Austin is worthy of Tracy Austin's mouth.
I think Tracy Austin should come in here and work for 4 hours. She can go 100 miles an hour.
Here's the deal.
So I would love Jimmy to work with you guys. You guys are fun.
Jimmy Connors is playing Lendl. Now, Lendl's a United States citizen. He's not a communist or anything. And they're playing at the Garden, an exhibition match, sold out. And they're in the first or second set, I forget. It's irrelevant. And Magra pulls yelled, not to the, oh, my ankle, my ankle.
I read about it in his book yesterday.
I can't play anymore.
He was up 6-3, he said.
And he may have been. Maybe they played 8 in those exhibitions, whatever it is, right?
Look at his fingers.
So he goes, I can't play. I'm out. And people are pissed. So I go on the radio and I go, look, I didn't realize that Lendl was American at that point. I thought he'd been Russian or something, or Czechoslovakian.
He was Czech originally, yeah.
So I, of course, go.
Thank you so much.
If you're playing Lendl, you beat Lendl. I don't care if you got one leg. You don't drop out against Lendl. F Lendl. You beat Lendl's ass. I've since apologized to Lendl for that.
You told McEnroe that?
I said it on the air. So literally that night, Boomer and I are going to a Knick game at the Garden. And they have a very bougie elevator for special people every now and then. You go to like a suite, you have drinks and stuff before the game.
Only for those who fly Magellan jets.
Right. So Boomer and I get on the elevator, and Patty, his wife, and John get on the elevator as well. Now we.
This is after he's retired that day.
This is when he's quit against Lendl.
Yep.
And I've said what I've said, and the show is broadcast on the Madison Square Garden TV network.
Do we have a napkin for this man,
no,
please?
No, I'm just going to, trust me, I'll hear the song in my own way. So they've seen it on TV. Now just the four of us and the elevator attendant. And to her credit, Patty goes, is that the guy? And I go, oh, my boy, here we go. And she undressed, you have some effing nerve, my husband.
Who said that, Patty?
Yeah, his wife. His ankle is hurt. Who the F? And I'm like, okay. I'm like, Patty Smythe just cursed me out. John has just become friendly.
Was Boomer there as well?
Yeah, yes. Boomer does.
Boomer didn't stick up for you?
He never does with other athletes in the room. He thinks I'm a NARP, non-athletic regular person.
That's exactly what he is.
Yeah. So long story short, John and I become friendly. We played a bunch of charity, like basketball games and different events together and appearances.
You're good in basketball as well, I'm just saying.
No. I missed a wide open layup in a charity game. I can make free throws better than anyone in the country, though.
In the whole country?
I can make like 94 out of 100 free throws.
Okay. So better than Shaq.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Now, let me say this. We have to go. Thank you to the Lavazza Coffee. Check it out. They redefined the Curry Cup. Tracy, it's a pleasure. We'll look forward to seeing you on the tennis channel during the Open. And if you have some extra tickets, Boom and I could use them to get in, of course.
But beyond
pleasure and good luck with everything that you're doing. And hopefully next time you're through New York, we'll have you for a longer
period
of time.
I'll have some more cake.
Yes.
Congratulations,
you,
10 years anniversary.
Thank you very much. That's really amazing. Great to see you again.
Not many marriages last 10 years, so
what
that's
do you mean
phenomenal.
Again? You've never met.
Yes, we have.
Don't act like, oh, we're athletes, we have our thing.
I used to be involved with the tennis guys pro serve. She knows who they are.
Yep.
Donald Dell and David Falk and all those guys.
That
was way
Dell,
back in the day, yes. Okay, thank you, Tracy.
Thank you. Anyway.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.